You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation, I'll take the fall. The saints, the combination, and it's a sex. The gods, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to my music, play that fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
Welcome back to Reliving the War, and welcome to the 1st of March, 1999. This week we've got Raw coming live from Cleveland, Ohio, while WCW Nitro comes from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Big news this week coming from WCW. Nature boy Ric Flair's apparently gonna retire. Ric's wife told young David that his dad can't take anymore and he's gonna hang up the boots tonight on Nitro. David and Tori laugh while listening to voicemails the Nature Boy left for his son. David's as charismatic as ever as he says it's about time his dad retired, and this is a sentiment echoed by many in modern times, to be fair. We've got another jam-up couple this week. John and Annie attended a local show in Racine, Wisconsin. Annie rocked the pink jam shirt, a fine choice indeed. And those of you who watch my bootleg merch videos will notice the excellent shirt that John's wearing. A shirt that includes Harlem Heat's famous promo from Spring Stampede 97.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you now!
Thank you so much for sending in your photos, guys, and thanks to everyone who visited chinlocks.com to pick up a shirt. That Harlem Heat shirt is not available at chinlocks.com, for the record. Let's do it then. Sit back and relax, try to forget about your troubles, and enjoy episode 175 of Reliving the War. Oh yeah, before I forget, there's some Reliving the War compilations coming to the channel over the next few weeks. These videos are all additional, and they won't replace or interfere with the usual Wrestling Bios upload schedule. And yes, the long-requested Road Dogg Shut Up Supercut is ready to go. The WCW commentators say Ric Flair's on his way to Nitro, and the WCW president's going to make an announcement when he arrives. Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner come to the ring to cut a promo, and Scott says he was going to be a role model for all these people of Chapel Hill, but all he sees is genetic junk. I love it. And Buff says it was Scott's stupid brother who paralyzed Bagwell from the neck down not too long ago. So Bagwell and Scott are calling out Rick Steiner and Goldberg on Nitro tonight. The boys want a tag team match, and let's just hope Buff Bagwell doesn't have to take a diving bulldog. Scott says he's gonna prove that Goldberg's nothing but hype, and Bagwell says, who's next? Who cares? So, I've got my wish. Main event Scotty Steiner. It's also a tag team match that Goldberg can't afford to lose. Actually, Goldberg can afford to lose any match right now. But anytime I think there's something this company should do, they always go in the opposite direction, so I fully expect Goldberg and Rick Steiner to win. There's a Nitro party going on at the University of North Carolina with Ricky Rackman, and look at AC Jazz. She does not want to be there at all. Looks like someone may have invaded her privacy, and she's like, please God, get me out of here. Nash, Luger, Disco, and Liz come out for a promo, and Disco gets ribbed. He walks down to the ring to cut the promo, but the other three wait on the entranceway. The Inferno gets laughed at by his NWO teammates when he walks back up the ramp. It's brilliant. Lex Luger says this right here is going to be a big moment for a young man's career. He's willing to forgive Rey Mysterio for injuring him, even though Lex is very proud of the body he's built for himself over the years. Big Kev says he's also willing to forgive Rey for the big upset win last week, and the Wolfpack want to welcome Rey into the red and black. Rey doesn't come out to accept his shirt, so Kevin gives him a quick call. Rey tells Nash to stick the Wolfpack shirt up his hole, and Kevin seems a little upset by Mysterio's rejection. Billy Kidman successfully defended his Cruiserweight title against Psychosis. Great, fantastic, the in-ring work was spot on, but give me a storyline, please. I've praised Kidman's work enough, and Psychosis is another guy who gives 110% in the ring. Give these guys something good to sink their teeth into. Raw kicks off with a corporation promo while Arn Anderson confronts David Flair on Nitro. The whole corporation come to the ring, and Vince McMahon says television history was made last week when Mr. McMahon himself showed a rare moment of weakness. McMahon was a basket case of nerves when Teddy Rubskin got set on fire, and McMahon was upset because of what Teddy Rubskin represents to Vince as a family man.
Hate it! Teddy Rubskin here, and yeah, baby, I'm back. I am fucking back.
Vince says there's not many people in the arena who understand that he's a caring man who's capable of cherishing others and loving others. Yeah, but The Undertaker's gonna pay for what he did last week, and Vince has a little surprise for the dead man tonight on Raw. Kane failed in his mission last week. The Undertaker was supposed to go up in flames and not Teddy Rubskin. So Vince McMahon fires Kane on the spot. The Big Red Machine is now out of the corporation. McMahon brings out the white coats to have Kane committed, but China backs Kane up and the orderlies get taken out. This turn of events surprises Mr. McMahon, but China says Vince is making a big mistake by letting Kane go. China can control Kane, she can tame the beast apparently, and to prove it, China wants Vince to book a Kane vs Steve Austin match in the Raw main event.
Hell yeah!
Vince agrees, but if Kane loses that match, then both he and China are out of a job. Mankind then appears on the stage. He says he got screwed like a White House intern last week. Mick still wants to prove to Commissioner Michaels that he's worthy of being a second referee in the WrestleMania main event, so Foley wants to officiate this Kane vs Austin match tonight on Raw. McMahon says that's no problem, but Mankind has to win a match first of all, and that match will be against, you guessed it, The Undertaker. It was in this arena where Mankind defeated the Deadman in a boiler room brawl, and Vince knows Foley has a good win record against The Undertaker, so Mick says he'll do it. If that's what it takes, then so be it. The arena then darkens as The Undertaker speaks to Vince McMahon. The Prince of Darkness says he told Vince what he was gonna do in that letter he received 2 weeks ago, and the Phenom also told Vince what he's gonna take. The Undertaker then laughs at Vince, and McMahon holds a quick corporate meeting before the lights come back on. The chairman's definitely shook up, and I wonder what it is that The Undertaker's gonna take away from McMahon. We then learn that the Road Dogg's returning to Raw tonight, and he's got himself a shot at the WWF Championship. That should be a good one. On Nitro, Arn Anderson breaks into David Flair's dressing room, and David thinks the Enforcer may be lost. Arn says David's the one who's lost right now, and this little bozo needs to snap out of it. Anderson wants confirmation that David Big Dick Flair's willing to throw away his family for this thing named Tori Wilson. Yeah, let's just call her Tori from now on. And Tori says Double A's just jealous because he could never pick up a woman like Miss Wilson. Anderson says he wouldn't get in the gutter with Tori, and when David stands up for his woman, Anderson says he'll fuck him up if he wants to keep acting like a tough guy. Arn tells David that the NWO's using him, they're going to throw him away once David's no longer useful, and all the NWO care about is taking over WCW. David says WCW's old, the Four Horsemen are old, and Arn Anderson is old. So the Enforcer says that's it. The moment Anderson walks out of the door, David's just another one of them, and their relationship is over. David's like, okay. And so Arn Anderson leaves. Arn then set up a sniper rifle, and he waited patiently for David to leave his private dressing room. We then see Hulk Hogan stirring the pot a little when he tells Vincent that Stevie Ray's been talking way too much trash lately. Vincent still thinks he's the leader of the NWO Black and White, and Vincent gets permission from Hogan to smack Stevie Ray the moment he sees him. Vincent's all for it, Stevie Ray needs put in his place, so we'll see if Vincent takes action a little later on. It sounds brilliant, doesn't it? Next on Raw, it's Val Venus versus Goldust versus Ken Shamrock. On Nitro, Bam Bam Bigelow takes on Rey Mysterio. Billy Gunn's got some fluid in his lungs and he's on the verge of an asthma attack, so Billy wasn't cleared to wrestle tonight by Dr. Doolittle here. Goldust pinned the Intercontinental Champion last week, so Goldust is taking Billy Gunn's spot in this match. Venus and Goldust team up to take out Kenny Boy, and seconds into the match, we see Ryan Shamrock make her way down the ringside. Goldust then turns on Venus, as expected in these kind of matches, and when Val pulls off a spinebuster pin combination, Goldust is right there to break it up. Venus makes Goldust pay for his crimes by punching him in the balls. So Goldust forms a short-lived alliance with Ken Shamrock, and the IC champ takes a double suplex. When Goldust and Shamrock argue over who should pin Venus, Goldust ends up getting sent to the outside. He then approaches Ryan Shamrock and he gives her a big old kiss, and Ken Shamrock's like, ah, isn't that nice? Kenny Boy runs out to attack Goldust after planting Venus with a DDT. The two fight at the rampway and they end up going into the crowd to continue their brawl. Val Venus wins the match via countout and he's a little confused as to how he actually won this match. When Val celebrates on the rampway, he ends up getting attacked by Billy Gunn. BA throws Val into the ring steps before heading back up the ramp. I think it was a good move getting Goldust involved in this rivalry, and logically you'd think Shamrock's gonna feud with Goldust now while Val Venus focuses on Billy Gunn. It also feels like WWF aren't sure what to do with the whole Ryan Shamrock thing at the moment. On Nitro, Rey Mysterio must think he's quite the giant killer after defeating Kevin Nash last week. He quickly finds out Bam Bam isn't the man to mess with when Mysterio takes a huge beel across the ring. Rey's going to utilize the same strategy as last week though, as he charges at Bigelow with a few right hands before delivering a spinning wheel kick. He goes upstairs for a crossbody, but unfortunately he gets caught out and Bam Bam delivers a falling power slam. Bigelow then lifts Rey over his head, and after walking around the ring for a bit, Bam Bam launches Rey into some conveniently placed security guards. I'm so glad those guys were there at just the right time. It takes Mysterio some time to get back in the ring, but when the match resumes, Bam Bam pulls off an impressive suplex, keeping Rey vertical with only one arm. Credit goes to Mysterio here too, by the way. Not everyone can take a suplex like this, obviously. The destruction of Rey continues with a big boot followed by an enziguri from Bam Bam Bigelow. The Beast from the East then improves his chances of becoming the new Reliving the War Chinlock Master, and Mysterio then takes a Dominator. The break comes when Bigelow misses a diving headbutt. Mysterio gets to his feet like he just didn't get his ass kicked throughout this whole match. Bigelow takes a diving dropkick. Rey then trips up while trying to step on Bam Bam's back. Mysterio pulls off a diving axe factor, but Bigelow kicks out at two. The match ends when Rey inadvertently hits Bigelow with a low blow after getting shoved in the corner. Rey performs a victory roll and Bam Bam gets beaten by Rey Mysterio on Monday Nitro. Rey beating big guys was a very effective way to build up fan support. People like to see Mysterio overcome the odds, and this would prove to be an effective formula even when Mysterio joined WWE. Jim Ross returns to WWF and he's going to interview Bart Gunn next, while over on Nitro we've got Backstage Shenanigans. Backstage Shenanigans is going to happen frequently on Reliving the War moving forward. Rather than have individual cutaways for these moments and interviews, I think it makes more sense to put them all together. Rey Mysterio gets interviewed after his match and he says he just wants to represent the small guys of the world who constantly get told they aren't big enough to be successful. Mysterio gets approached by Lex Luger, who's holding Mysterio's Wolfpack shirt, and Rey says the Wolfpack's just not for him. Kevin Nash then whacks Mysterio from behind and he tells Rey he made the wrong decision. Nash then lifts Mysterio up like he's a gym bag before putting him on the floor again, and of course Disco Inferno thought all of this was hilarious. Bam Bam Bigelow, meanwhile, runs into Raven backstage. Raven's back in WCW arenas and it looks like he wants to get a little hardcore. Well, as hardcore as Time Warner allows on TNT. The boys slip and it looks like Raven takes a nasty bump near a table, and Hardcore Hack shows up too to join in on the fun. So what we have here, ladies and gents, is a severely watered down version of ECW, and let me give you a little spoiler right now. It all doesn't work out too well. WCW's hardcore division is not good, but it gives our main man Norman Smiley something to do in the near future. Nature Boy Ric Flair then arrives to the arena in his white limo. Is Rick really gonna retire tonight on Monday Nitro? Am I asking questions that both you and I already know the answer to? Stevie Ray's backstage with Kevin Nash, Disco Inferno, and Lex Luger. And Stevie says he's had it up to here with that Vincent punk. Nash says, funnily enough, Vincent was trash talking Stevie behind his back, and Stevie should just take Vincent out tonight as soon as he sees him. Stevie Ray agrees with the red and black. We'll come back to this a little later on. Over on Raw, we've got some absolute bullshit coming up here on Raw. Jim Ross is back, and before a commercial break, Ross is filmed from the back. So fans were pretty much being told, you'll need to come back to Raw to see what Jim's face looks like after his Bell's palsy attack. Ross walks down to the ring and he wants Bart Gunn to come out for an interview. It's announced here that Bart Gunn's gonna face Butterbean at WrestleMania. What unfolds next is a bit uncomfortable. Ross wonders why Bart Gunn won't look at his face, and Jim gets angry that nobody in the locker room wants to look at him ever since he came back, completely forgetting here that Al Snow and Mankind were looking directly at him before the commercial break. But anyway, Jim says he had his Bell's palsy attack the day after his mother died, which is true. He was ready to come back to work at the Royal Rumble, so the Ross family flew in for the event because God knows the family needed something to look forward to. Jim was then told he wouldn't be part of the event because no one wanted to look at his face, and Bart says he's sorry to hear all this, but it has nothing to do with Bart Gunn. He's right too, you know. Jim asks Bart if he remembers Dr. Death Steve Williams. Bart beat Williams in the Brawl for All, and according to Jim, Bart took great pleasure in telling all the boys in the back that he knocked out JR's boy. Jim even brings up the fact that Bart called him on the phone to make sure he wouldn't get heat if he knocked out Steve. Ross says Bart Gunn embarrassed him. It was a lucky punch that knocked Dr. Death out. And Jim then screams at Bart to show him some respect. Jim gets fired up and he smacks Bart across the face, and Bart backs Jim into a corner while saying he was only doing his job when he destroyed Dr. Death. Bart has nothing to do with Jim's condition, and all Bart did was win a fight. Steve Williams then shows up and Bart gets suplexed out of his boots. It was Steve Williams who attacked Bart Gunn last week on Raw. Jim directs traffic as Dr. Death delivers a back suplex, and the commentators are left confused by Jim's actions tonight as he and Williams leave the ring. The lines between reality and fiction were blurred here. Ross did tell everyone that Steve Williams was going to win the Brawl for All. Bart did knock him out. Jim did have a Bell's palsy attack in December, and the WWF did want to bury Bart for, you know, doing a good job in the Brawl for All tournament. It's a petty business sometimes, isn't it? And it's kind of stupid that everyone just couldn't work together for the benefit of the company. But there you have it. At least we've got Steve Williams now on Raw. The WWF Tag Team Champions issue an open challenge next on Raw, plus Luna cuts a promo. Meanwhile, fuck me, Jerry Flynn challenges Ernest Miller on Nitro. So Jerry Flynn, who seems to be getting a push right now for some bizarre reason, says he's the king of karate and he can easily beat Ernest Miller. Jerry's mic skills leave a lot to be desired as he issues this challenge.
And we're gonna find out who the bad guy is around here.
Scott Norton tells Miller that Flynn's punking him in the ring. Ernie's a little standoffish when Scott approaches him, but he eventually agrees to go down to the ring and put this jabroni in his place. Seeing as Miller now uses Glacier's entrance setup, he can't see the ring when trying a sneak attack, so he dashes down to try and get an early advantage, but he ends up grabbing the referee instead. This right here was the best thing about the match. Flynn takes the early lead and it quickly goes to the outside where the cat gets punished at the guardrail. Back in the ring, Ernest counters a kick and he tries to punch the mullet right off Jerry's head. It goes to the mat where Ernie applies a sleeper, and it doesn't take long for the match to go back to the outside where the cat maintains control. Sonny Ono is not a Jerry Flynn fan, so Jerry gets kicked by the cat's manager. Flynn then chases Ono around the ring, but he gets intercepted by Ernest. Flynn gets choked out, and why am I watching this? Seriously, why watch this? Standing sidekick from Miller, the cat then applies sleeper number 2. Butthead comes back with a belly-to-belly suplex, and Luke, double kick, double KO. Mickey J then makes up the rules as he goes along. Whoever gets to their feet first will win this match. So Sonny Ono gets in the ring, he kicks Flynn, Ernest the Cat Miller wins the match, and Flynn fails when trying to get his hands on Ono. I don't know if I'm being too harsh here, but I don't care for all this karate warfare on Nitro. It's not that the storyline's terrible or anything, I just can't buy into Jerry Flynn, man. I'm sorry, but I'm just not a fan. On Raw, the tag team champs issue an open challenge, and Deborah says she'll disrobe tonight if Jared and Owen get beaten. Horndogs, Triple H and X-Pac would love to see that happen. So the Degenerates answer the challenge and we've got ourselves a tag team title match. We see tandem clotheslines from DX at the opening bell, and X-Pac follows this up with a spinning wheel kick to Jeff Jarrett. Owen and Triple H come in, with Hunter taking a clothesline and Owen taking the Hardy Race knee. When Triple H hits the facebreaker knee smash, Jarrett runs in to stop a pedigree attempt, and the tag team champions work together to keep Hunter away from Kid. Triple H gets out of a sleeper with a back suplex, Jarrett and X-Pac tag in, and Pac gets a great pop when he hits both his opponents with spinning back kicks, and our match ends when X-Pac delivers a Bronco Buster to Jeff Jarrett followed by the X-Factor. Deborah gets on the apron afterwards, but X-Pac's not like David Flair. He won't succumb to the ways of a woman. Tim White, on the other hand, will do whatever it takes to get some action, and he gets easily distracted by Deborah's big mama jammas. Deborah gets knocked off the apron, Waltman goes out to check on Deborah, Shane McMahon makes an appearance, and X-Pac takes a bump at the ring steps. X-Pac leaves Hunter all alone to take a kicking from the champs. This is happening way too often within D-Generation X. Eventually, X-Pac returns, but the referee throws the match out. If Tim White isn't going to win with Deborah tonight, then no one's going to win this match. Ivory comes down and she stalks Deborah around the ring, and when the tag champs retreat back up the ramp, D'Lo launches an attack. This overbooked mess ends with Ivory disrobing Deborah and the crowd lose their minds, and after a commercial break, Deborah challenges Ivory to a match tonight on Raw. This was a very long way to show some skin, wasn't it? The thing is though, whether you like it or not, it works. Raw's killing it right now in the ratings, so it's kinda hard to argue. Luna then comes to the ring along with Tori. Luna says she's gonna stand up for Tori after what Sable did to her last week. Luna wants to bring Sable back down to earth, so Sable gets invited down to the ring for a fight. The women's champion answers the challenge. She begins to walk down to the ring, but Tori then attacks Luna and Sable takes advantage. Both Sable and Tori lay the boots in before Sable pulls off a Sable bomb. When Tori goes to high-five her hero, Sable completely ignores her, so it appears that Tori didn't learn her lesson. You'd hope Sable would get her comeuppance, wouldn't you? Surely this is going to lead to Luna beating Sable for the women's belt, right? Well, let's just wait and see. The Rock defends his WWF title against Road Dogg next on Raw. On Nitro, we've got Saturn vs Hugh Morris. Let's speedrun the Nitro match because I'm sure most of you are more interested in the WWF title match. Clothesline from Morris, foot choke from Morris, hip toss from Saturn, standing sidekick from Saturn. A Famouser makes Jimmy Hart get involved, and this distraction lets Morris go on offense. And back in the ring, Saturn takes a press slam followed by a chin lock. Chin lock number 2 comes after a knee to the midsection, and Saturn's now in trouble. And oh my, chin lock number 3. Boom.
Hugh Morris chin lock, speedrun edition.
Saturn counters a top rope move with a Northern Lights suplex. Morris replies with a running powerbomb. Saturn stays in it with a top rope Frankensteiner, and Chris Jericho then shows up with a chain wrapped around his fist. Saturn gets knocked out, Morris performs the no laughing matter, and Morris gets a pinfall win over Perry Saturn. If I covered every match like this, reliving the war would be over in 10 minutes every week. But believe me, you're not missing anything by digesting the match like this. We see Bagwell and Steiner continue their journey to spring break. The boys are talking to women, walking around in buildings for absolutely no reason at all, and Scott's driving the WCW spring break bus as the boys head to Panama City Beach for Nitro. After all this promotion, I really hope the spring breakout gets a good rating for WCW.
Shut up!
So Road Dogg had to forfeit the Hardcore Championship, but he gets a WWF title shot against The Rock. Sounds like a fair trade-off. Could we end up seeing a Road Dogg vs Steve Austin main event at WrestleMania? I highly doubt it. Rock lays the smackdown on Road Dogg's Rudy Poo candy ass at the opening bell, but the roadie comes back with a nice dropkick. The corporate champ isn't impressed at all though, so James takes a DDT, and already Rock's calling out for some backup. Clearly, the Great One knows he's in for the fight of his life here against Road Dogg Jesse James. Out comes Paul White as the match goes to the outside. We can clearly hear Rock tell his opponent, "Watch the table," before smacking his head on the announce desk. Rock then takes Michael Cole's headset and he says he's checking Road Dogg into the SmackDown hotel. With every visit, you get a complimentary fist in your mouth and a foot in your ass. And Rock then proceeds to put his fist in Road Dogg's mouth and his foot in Road Dogg's ass. The Great One doesn't lie. Paul White watches on as Rock delivers a Russian leg sweep. Road Dogg then gets choked out on the middle rope, and Paul headbutts James while Earl Hebner's distracted. Again, Michael Cole calls Paul the Big Nasty here, and I'm not sure what's worse, the Big Show or the Big Nasty. Both are pretty bad names. Road Dogg isn't out just yet. He gets up after taking a Samoan drop and we see the shake, rattle and roll. Yeah, I'm gonna stop calling it the Dancy Punch and Dancy Knee, seeing as people keep correcting me on the real names, for fuck's sake. And our match comes to an end when Rock stops the onslaught with a rock bottom followed by the corporate elbow. Road Dogg will not be headlining WrestleMania this year, guys. Rock and Paul White head back up the ramp, and Al Snow decides to come out when Road Dogg's at his lowest. Snow says he wants to pick up where he and Road Dogg left off, because it was James' fault that Snow did the J-O-B to B-O-B on the PPV. Snow gets in the ring, he takes three consecutive chair shots right to the head. Sparky Plug shows up to take a chair shot too, because he didn't want to miss out. And Road Dogg says if these boys want to fight, they can find him in the parking lot. I'll cover this all right now instead of going back and forth again. Road Dogg waits in the parking lot following a commercial break. Bob Holly ends up accepting the challenge, and the two fight in the backstage area while using whatever weapons they can find lying around. Then, after another commercial break, Al Snow joins in by ambushing both men when the fight goes outside the arena. All three men end up fighting in traffic, and officials run down to break things up. So Road Dogg went from challenging Rock for the WWF title to fighting bombastic Bob outside the building. Fantastic. The Public Enemy cut a promo next on Raw. On Nitro, Bret Hart takes on Chris Benoit. Bret vs. Benoit will likely be our match of the week, but the disconnect between storylines and in-ring action is still the main issue we have here. But at times like this, you're better off forgetting about the overall show and just try to enjoy the match. Things are a bit scrappy during the initial lockups, but Bret strikes first with a clothesline followed by an inverted atomic drop. Benoit replies with a back elbow that sends Bret out of the ring, and the match resumes with both men engaging in an old school test of strength. Benoit bridges when lowered to the mat. Benoit counters by crossing Bret's arms, and he brings it down while looking for a submission. The hitman then takes a backbreaker, but Hart fights back and Benoit takes a DDT. Bret chokes Benoit out at the ring ropes before pulling him to the middle of the ring for a pile driver. Benoit kicks out at two, and Bret complains to the referee. Chris tries to steal a victory here with an inside cradle, so Bret makes his opponent pay with a great looking back suplex. If you thought that was great, check out this chin lock right here. My god. Chris frees himself with a back suplex before heading to the top rope. The horseman goes for a diving dropkick, but he ends up hitting the mat, and Bret goes for a sharpshooter. The sharpshooter gets countered with a crippler crossface attempt, but Bret makes it to the ropes just before we go to commercial break. Maybe one week we will see a Bret Hart match go uninterrupted. We come back to see Benoit reaching the ropes while locked in a figure four. The hitman then pulls off his signature suplex before heading to the second rope for an elbow drop. Benoit isn't out just yet, so Bret gets vicious by choking his opponent out and raking Benoit across the face. After taking a backbreaker, Benoit gets desperate. He starts throwing punches at Bret, and the crowd pops when Hart hits the canvas. His Excellency then takes a knee to the midsection followed by another, and Bret's forced to take a few hard knife-edge chops. We all know how much Bret loves a good knife-edge chop. After a snap suplex, Benoit is able to perform his diving headbutt, but Bret kicks out of the follow-up cover. Seems like Chris is going to have to work a little harder to keep the hitman down, and Chris learns this the hard way when Bret explodes out of the corner with a jumping clothesline. Benoit locks in a sleeper, and in an act of desperation, Bret tries to dump Chris over the top rope, but the hitman almost lands on his neck. The tag champs Barry Windham and Kurt Hennig then run down to attack Chris, and Bret's in no rush to help out his fellow Canadian. As a matter of fact, he keeps the referee distracted. The match ends when Benoit gets tossed back in the ring and Bret applies a sharpshooter. Benoit makes it to the ropes, but Bret won't release the hold. Charles Robinson disqualifies Bret, so Bret shoves the referee, and Dean Malenko runs down to help Benoit out, but Dean and Chris are outnumbered. Bret watches on as Malenko gets choked with Wyndham's belt, and man, if there were only two other horsemen in the building to help Malenko and Benoit out. Hilariously, Flair and Anderson don't bother showing up, even though they're definitely in attendance for Nitro. The Public Enemy show up to Raw dressed as members of the Brood, and they get no reaction at all. Flyboy Rocco Rock says the Brood aren't the only ones who can dress up for Halloween, and they you know what, just watch.
Do you think we're afraid of a little blood? Not!
Johnny Grun says the Public Enemy are the Mac Daddies of hardcore. He and Rocco Rock are afraid of no one. The lights then go out in the arena, and when they come back on, Flyboy Rocco Rock has vanished. After a commercial break, we learned that Rocco was taken backstage. He was chained up to some metal beams, and it looks like he might have been beaten up by Edge, Christian, and Gangrel. Next on Raw, it's Steve Blackman versus Draws in a candlestick match. On Nitro, Hollywood Hogan cuts a promo. So, a candlestick match, you're allowed to, what's that say? DDP bang. Yeah, so you can use candlesticks legally in this match, and the first person knocked off their feet loses the bout. So we have a lethal weapon in the hands of a lethal weapon. Blackman get, oh yeah, look at that, what precision. What Draws didn't know is that Steve Blackman actually forged lightsabers for the Jedi Order, so he knows a thing or two about smacking fools with weapons. As a matter of fact, Steve's currently holding a lightsaber that's been wrapped in magical bamboo, and unfortunately, referee Teddy Long gets struck with Blackman's Mavug saber, and he starts evaporating before our very eyes. Draws takes advantage and Blackman takes a shot to the back of the head. The referee awards the match to Draws as a final screw you to the man who just ended his life. Steve just can't believe that he could be so reckless, and he decided to never use a lightsaber disguised in bamboo ever again. In all honesty, the match was incredibly short, and that's because WWF kept switching over to Road Dogg fighting Holly outside the arena. Wrestling fans then get introduced to the hardest man to ever come out of Greenwich, Connecticut. Well, two of them at least. It's Rodney and Pete Gass of the Mean Street Posse. The boys put Shane McMahon over while talking about how tough Shane really is. Rodney says there's some bad cats lurking in the mean streets of Greenwich, while Pete Gass says the Mean Street Posse like busting heads because it's fun. I always liked the idea behind this gimmick, the little rich kids who think they're tough guys. There's so many possibilities and situations these guys could get themselves in, and I'm looking forward to the posse making their WWF debut. Hogan comes to the ring with Disco, Kevin Nash, Horace, Stevie Ray, and Vincent. Tensions are high right now between the B-team guys, and while Hogan cuts his usual promo about being NWO for life and all that shit, you can see Kevin Nash continue to stir the pot between Vincent and Stevie Ray. Nash walks from one guy to the other while Disco watches on. Hogan says David Flair joined the NWO because he wanted to be with winners and he wanted to be with guys who hold the gold. The Nature Boy's going to come out soon and make a big announcement, and apparently Hogan told Flair he wasn't going to beat him up tonight because he already did that at Super Brawl. In the middle of the promo, Vincent and Stevie Ray start fighting, and Hogan just carries on talking about Flair and how great the NWO is. This is the payoff for those backstage promos earlier on, and it's nothing really, nobody cares. Hulk says the boys are fighting because they're thinking about Ric Flair too much, the Nature Boy's gonna retire in just a moment, and everything's going exactly how Hulk Hogan wants it to go. Ric Flair's announcements next on Nitro. On Raw, it's The Undertaker versus Mankind. Vince McMahon joins the commentary team for this one, and he casually announces a Big Boss Man versus Undertaker Hell in a Cell match for WrestleMania. I remember thinking this was big news back then, seeing as it's the first cell match in Mania history. The competitors make their entrances with Undertaker staring a hole through the chairman. Mick Foley came to fight though, and remember, if Mankind wins, he gets the referee tonight's main event. Foley takes a clothesline before getting body slammed by the Undertaker. Taker misses an elbow drop and Foley capitalizes with a few right hands, but a missed corner charge allows Undertaker to soften up the arm and shoulder, and naturally, this leads to old school. Mick counters it with a mandible claw, and Undertaker has no choice but to throw his opponent out of the ring. Vince enjoys seeing the Phenom getting sent into the ring steps, and he also likes seeing Mick Foley hit Undertaker with a running knee. Mankind then grabs a steel chair as he looks to finish the dead man off, but Undertaker gets a boot up and Mick gets wiped out. The referee gets to the count of 9, Mick gets in the ring, and Mick Foley clearly wins via countout, but he still doesn't referee the main event. The Undertaker turns his attention to Mr. McMahon, and Vince gets punched in the face. When Taker sets McMahon up for a chokeslam, the Big Boss Man runs down for the save, and the dead man takes a few shots before the Ministry show up. Boss Man and Vince hightail it through the audience, they end up escaping in a limousine, and Undertaker takes it all out on Foley. Mick gets chokeslammed in the middle of the ring, and I guess this is why he couldn't referee the main event. Either that or the finish got messed up and it was supposed to be a double countout. Mean Gene wants to know if Ric Flair's going to retire tonight, and Rick says he's been asked by everyone in North Carolina how could he let his son join the NWO. 20 years ago, Flair was in the same situation as David. He met a pretty blonde and she changed his life overnight. The difference is, Flair got up the next day knowing he had to pay the price in the middle of a wrestling ring, and that blonde woman would turn out to be David's mother. Cool story, bro. Rick then starts niching and he says he's still president of WCW. He's got 28 days left and he's not going to retire just yet. I know, shocker. Instead, Flair's booking himself in another main event pay-per-view match against Hulk Hogan. At Uncensored, we're going to see Flair versus Hogan in a barbed wire steel cage match. Flair says we're going back to 1985 with this one, and only one man will be able to leave the cage at Uncensored. The winner will be the world champion, and unlike David Flair, both Hogan and Rick are going to pay the price. Kinda makes sense seeing as Super Brawl did good numbers for WCW, but we'll just have to wait and see if the company can do it again. So there you go, Ric Flair is not retiring. Another little moment that was built up on Nitro only to go absolutely nowhere. Before looking at our main events, we got that Ivory vs Deborah match on Raw. This was a very short affair that consisted of hair pulling for around 5 seconds before PMS made their way to the ring. Jackie attacks Ivory, the referee calls for the bell, and Ivory ends up taking a pile driver while Deborah looks on. D'Lo runs down to save Ivory, but PMS and Deborah get out of harm's way, and that's how it went down. This may have seemed a bit pointless at the time, but it could also potentially lead to another Ivory vs Jackie match. These two wrestled on Sunday Night Heat, and the match quality far surpassed the women's matches we've become accustomed to right now, so it is a step in the right direction. We end Raw this week with Kane vs Stone Cold Steve Austin. On Nitro, Goldberg and Rick Steiner take on Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner. So we've got Rick Steiner and Buff Bagwell returning from injury tonight, and WCW decide to throw Goldberg in the mix. Top work. Bagwell gets welcomed back to the ring with a Steiner line while Rick takes a dropkick from Buff Daddy. Buff pulls off a suplex and he poses afterwards, that's the Buff we all know and love, and Rick fires back with a big scoop power slam. It's like these guys were never gone. Rick tags in Goldberg, and Scotty takes his time getting in the ring when Buff also tags out. We've got some good heat here as Scott and Goldberg circle the ring, and Goldberg strikes first with a shoulder block, but Scott fires back with an exploder suplex. Goldberg takes a few shots in the corner next, but he stands up and he pulls off a press slam on Scott Steiner. The audience lose their shit for this one, and you can't say this isn't impressive. Goldberg was one strong dude. Bagwell gets taken out by Rick and Goldberg tags out. I was looking forward to Rick and Scott going at it, but Rick takes a belly to belly and Scott gets out of the ring. While standing on the ring apron, Big Papa Pump removes the turnbuckle pad and Rick ends up taking two bumps at the exposed steel. This leads to the NWO guys getting a huge advantage and the crowd are eager for Goldberg to get the hot tag. The dog-faced gremlin takes a shot with the television title on the outside and the crowd barks when Rick gets locked in a submission hold. The break comes when Buff misses a running splash and the roof comes off the arena when Goldberg comes back in to clean house. Punches, kicks, jumping shoulder blocks, a big boot. Goldberg's on fire, and my hopes of Scott and Buff winning this match are quickly going down the toilet. There's a glimmer of hope when Bagwell hits a low blow, but Goldberg then jumps over Rick and Rick pulls off a double Steiner line. The match ends with Bagwell taking a spear from Goldberg and a diving clothesline from Rick. Looks like Buff was in no rush to take a diving bulldog for obvious reasons. So there you have it, Goldberg and Rick Steiner win the match, and as much as I didn't like the outcome, the crowd absolutely loved it. It was also good seeing a clean victory in a WCW main event, and overall, this was a good tag team match on Monday Nitro. So if Kane loses this Raw main event, both he and Chyna are fired. Some back and forth to start us off gets slowed down a bit when Kane performs a backdrop. Stone Cold gets sent to the corner with a lot of force, but Kane tries it again and he ends up taking a boot to the face. Austin wraps Kane's leg around the ring post before hitting a chop block, so we already know Stone Cold's strategy as he continues to work over Kane's left leg and knee. Austin uses the ring apron to do a little more damage and he jumps on Kane's knee with all his body weight. But Kane turns it around by snapping Austin's neck as Chyna watches on with a slightly concerned look on her face. Stone Cold takes a suplex and a few clubbing blows while draped over the apron. The two men then fight on the outside where Kane takes a ring step bump that makes the crowd pop. Chyna then gets involved and she clocks Austin with a forearm. Austin then goes after the ninth wonder of the world, and when Kane tries a cheap shot, the big red machine gets backdropped into the audience. Things then go rapidly downhill for Stone Cold as Kane counters a piledriver attempt with a backdrop. The two return to the ringside area where Austin gets rammed into the steel ring post and Chyna gets in more cheap shots while the referee's distracted. Stone Cold takes a bump at the ring steps before the match gets back in the ring and Kane delivers a backbreaker. Austin tries a sleeper, but the move fails. He also tries the body slam Kane, but that fails too. So Kane locks in a bear hug while probably knowing full well that Austin won't give up. Austin breaks free, he goes for a stunner, Kane pushes Austin into Earl Hebner, and we've just lost our referee. This gives China the opportunity to get in the ring when Austin eventually delivers the Stone Cold Stunner, and Austin wants to hurt the Ninth Wonder of the World after she breaks up the cover. China gets saved by Kane delivering a back suplex, and we then see Paul White walking down to the ring again. The odds are getting stacked against Stone Cold big time. Kane delivers his diving clothesline and Paul looks on as Kane punishes Austin in the corner, but Austin turns it around and Stone Cold stomps a mud hole in the big red machine. We then see the Lou Fez press, Paul White decides to put a chair in the ring, Stone Cold takes the chair and he hits Kane in the face, and Austin then goes after China, but she manages to get out of the way. While Austin's distracted by Paul White, China gets in the ring and Austin takes a low blow. The match ends when Paul White gets in the ring and he goes to kick Stone Cold. Austin ducks out of the way, Kane takes a boot to the face, and Austin decides to leave the ring and head back up the entranceway. We assume this means Austin loses because there was no bell to end the match and there's no announcement by the ring announcer. I have to be honest here, I thought this one was way too overbooked. Too much nonsense going on with other people and too much nonsense going on outside the actual wrestling match. Nitro wins Reliving the War this week. Benoit vs. Brett, Kidman vs. Psychosis in the tag team main event sealed it for WCW. Raw didn't have a standout match, and it's another episode you could completely skip over and watch the following episode, and you wouldn't miss any key details. Nitro wasn't brilliant by the way, but I did enjoy the matches they put on. Raw's on 87 points, Nitro's on 69 points, nice, and we've got 19 ties on the board. Nitro dropped to a 4.3 rating this week, while the WWF absolutely killed it with a 6.3 rating. This is Raw's biggest rating in the Monday Night War so far. Absolutely brilliant stuff here from the World Wrestling Federation. Next week on Raw, the New Age Outlaws get together once again for a tag team match. Jim Ross wants his old job back, but he's met with a little resistance, and The Undertaker looks to hold another sacrifice inside the arena. On Nitro, Buff Bagwell and Scott Steiner become police officers on their road to spring break. Chris Jericho competes in a dog collar match, and the Giant Killer Rey Mysterio looks to slay another big man when he takes on Scott Norton. Thank you for watching Reliving the War. If you enjoyed this video, please like it and please subscribe to the channel because it helps out a lot. I'll see you all next week. Take care of yourself.
So until then, fucking keep it real!